Many counted us out. They said we could not do it. Now, millions of listeners later, we're the hottest independent network in the world. Bashani Radio App. Download free in the App Store for iPhone and Android, or listen online at BashaniRadio.com. You suckers. Kaboom! In your face!
This is David Spradley, and you should check out Z, the SEO queen.
Do you have an online business or want an online business but lack the team or the expertise to get on Google page one? Did you know that 33% of all Google search traffic clicks the first result only? Do you want to get more traffic to your website, social media profile, or just want your video to get more hits or go viral? Well, you need to contact the SEO Queen Digital Marketing Agency, where you are more than just a number. You can't lose with the SEO Queen. More visibility, more credibility, more profitability. Visit theseoqueen.net for more information. That's theseoqueen.net. theseoqueen.net. That's theseoqueen.net.
Hello, this is Lady Z, the violinist. I'm coming to you because I want to encourage you to get your copy of Elevate. It's available on Apple Music and iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. So if you're listening to this on your computer or your cell phone, whether you have an Android or an iPhone, you can get your copy of this song, this show's theme song, by just going to Apple Music, Amazon, or Google Play and get it today. I appreciate your support. Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Welcome to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, a podcast about the secrets to success in technology, music, and business on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z on any mobile phone or tablet device. The Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music and learn the secrets to music and technological success. Please follow us online at www.ladyz.com and on all social networks at LADYZHE. Please pull out your phones and follow me on Instagram at LADYZHE. My next guest is an entrepreneur, a writer, a magazine publisher, and a realtor, and she is doing amazing things to highlight entrepreneurs and help people get their dream home, and she is no other than Crystal Swearingen. How are you today?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you so much for considering me for your show, and I'm excited to be on your show today.
Okay, awesome, awesome. You know, I always enjoy speaking to entrepreneurs who are definitely doing some big things, so I want to know, like, what drew you to real estate?
You know, it's not a glamorous story by any means. I've always been an entrepreneur, and everything I did, I kind of was an independent worker. And when I had I have three daughters, so when I had my third daughter, one of my neighbors said, "You would be really good in real estate." I have no idea why. There was no context to it. He just thought I was really good with people. So he brought home a home study book for me to actually take the class online, because my daughter was like 3 months old at the time, my youngest one. and I felt like challenge accepted. You think I should do this? I'll try it out. So turns out he was the vice president of the Kansas Association of Realtors. And so I took the class, got my license, immediately jumped right in. And I just have always felt an importance of home ownership. I grew up with a single mom. We moved a lot. We did not have health instability in any way. I'm living with aunts and cousins and grandmas, and while she was trying to find her way. And I knew that with my children, we had made it a priority, my ex-husband and I, to always have a home for them. And so once I realized that I would have the way, the opportunity to empower other people to create that foundation for themselves, I knew that that was where my path should go. And when I first got licensed, I immediately got out and learned everything I could, took all the classes, because it opened my eyes to not only the importance of and the psychological being of a child and having that home stability, but, you know, how you can grow wealth with real estate. So That's kind of twofold.
Oh, wow. That's an amazing story. So when you talk about, you know, housing stability and its importance, that's amazing that you were inspired to accept the challenge and become a realtor. So what lessons have you learned along the way being a realtor?
Well, I don't like to just be a part of something. I want to be involved in something.
Mm-hmm.
So I got licensed in 07. I hope that makes sense. And I immediately started doing work in learning what the real estate industry was. I learned about us having the oldest code of ethics of any industry. That was really important to me because we had a code of ethics before doctors had their code. Because land ownership and property rights are so fundamental to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the access to get housing was not always available to people of color. And so I wanted to learn how I can educate my community about the benefits of owning a home, break down some of the myths and stigmas of purchasing a home. I mean, not too long ago, banks weren't lending money.
Not too long ago, banks weren't what?
They were steering a red line.
Right.
Lending money to minorities.
Right.
And there was a stigma and a question about who could own a home and what it would take. And so what I found out my voice was in the real estate arena was to dispel some of those myths, get out in front of people. I have been president of my local board of realtors. I have served on state levels. I serve on national committees. I'm a true advocate of if you're going to do something, you do a full out. You learn about it, and you learn the process. And if the process is broken, you seek out to help fix it. So that's one of the things that I've enjoyed about real estate. You know, a lot of realtors say, I got into real estate because I love to look at pretty homes. Well, I do too, but I love what that home represents for our family.
Right.
Or for a new start. So that's more of what I enjoy about it. Plus, I'm a junkie for information and facts, so I love contracts and negotiations too. So it feeds both of my personalities, the introvert and the extrovert.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, I've spoken to a lot of realtors over the years, but I've never had anyone, you know, really break down the sociological and political aspects of home ownership. I think there's a lot of people who don't even understand or are aware of redlining and racial covenants. So what positive changes have you seen in the real estate market within the last few months?
Well, you know, there's a national initiative called Opportunity Zoning, which allows you to get federal funding to go into neighborhoods and kind of put the money back into the community. I feel like this is really important, and I hope that realtors and community leaders are learning about this and seeing how they can work in their neighborhoods. Because we've seen a gentrification of a lot of historically minority areas. My dad's from Chicago. He's from the South Side, Robert Taylor Homes. They don't exist anymore. You have luxury condos. Like, there's no place for people to go back home. And with these kind of programs, you can allow your community to stay intact, but still bring in benefits and beneficial things that your community's missing, like food deserts. There's a lot of communities that don't have grocery stores. And so that's kind of my new thing that I'm on right now, in addition to every other business I have. I have, it's really just trying to educate people and educate myself first, because there's a lot that I don't know, and I'm always willing to accept that and acknowledge who I am and where I am in my path. But I think it's important for people to start seeing, like, you know, we've all been home for these last 3 months. We've seen what's been happening all over the country. And it's a great time to say, how can I make my community better? And really invest the time. You don't have to have the resources, but invest the time in getting the knowledge or getting in touch with the right people or talking to your city leaders to say, is this opportunity zone work in my community? And what does that mean? I think I'm a Black woman, and I was the first Black president of our association. I've been the only minority for the state of Kansas on the state board of directors and serve as chair for our governmental affairs, which helps pass legislative policies through our state senate. I'm doing the work so other people can see that it's possible to get in there and get involved, and I'm hoping that's happening and coming out in different areas as well. But I think there's some amazing things that can happen with real estate, and I think people should be learning and educating and taking advantage. I mean, we've been saying it for 10 years now, but we have amazing interest rates right now. Someone locked a loan yesterday, 30-year fixed for 2.875. I've never
Wow.
I mean, there's
a 30-year fixed?
Yeah, 2.875.
Wow.
I mean,
that's low.
I might buy a house. I don't know. It's time to move. I didn't want to get into that whole field, but I think that's why I'm passionate about what I do in real estate, because it's not just showing homes. This isn't my hobby. This is my career, and everything I do in all of my businesses, whether it be the magazine, the Spot Mag, Celebrated Women in Business, whether it be my cobbler company or my jazz lounge, I do things that I'm passionate about, because life is short and you want to have joy, and I want to feel like I'm contributing, and these allow me to do those things.
So I knew that you were a realtor, and I knew you had a magazine, the Spot Magazine. Mm-hmm. But I did not know you had a jazz lounge. So can you tell our listeners about that?
Yes. My partner John and I started about 2 years ago. It's a jazz and dessert lounge. It's only open in the evenings, Thursday, Fridays, and Saturdays. And we started it because as older adults, we live in a college town. There's just not a lot of things for us to do. There's not a lot of places that aren't college kids. One day we said, well, I want to bring my family's from North Carolina, High Point, North Carolina. And I said, I want to bring some Southern style desserts to our community. So we do like peach cobbler, banana pudding, stuff you don't see at regular restaurants. At least where I live. So we brought that in, and then we realized that jazz is a genre that's really popular in Kansas City, but we didn't have access to it here. So we've brought in jazz musicians that have been in New York and traveled the world to perform. Very intimate. It holds 25 people. It's like you get a private listening room. It's been really exciting. We haven't been able to open because of everything going on, but we're still serving our desserts and shipping our cobblers at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And hoping to open soon.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I think that's awesome that you're doing that. I think jazz is a very important genre, and June was Black Music Month, and there's nothing blacker than jazz, because we're the originators of
jazz. And it connects people.
Absolutely. Yes.
Music connects everyone.
Absolutely.
And one of the things that we really love when we first opened our doors is that no matter where you're from or what your life experiences were, people came in, they put their phones down, we don't have TVs, they engage with each other. People would talk to each other's tables or go around and meet strangers because you could all connect through the music.
Right.
And I feel like it was helping change the fabric of our community because people could see each other in different ways.
Right, and that's important. That's important to build a more cohesive community. So, tell me about the Spot Mag. What was the inspiration behind starting that?
For years we've had publications that are local, and I've had the desire to write for them or contribute or pitch pieces, and I just felt like they weren't intentionally diverse. I felt like sometimes they weren't covering things that I thought were pretty important. And I'm a go-getter and a self-starter. And so I sat down with John. He's my guy, significant other. And we both talked about it. And where I can be very creative, he can be very fundamentally sound. So we mapped out a way to create our own magazine because I felt like there was a lot of stories of these amazing women all around our community as well as outside of our community that weren't being told. You know, a lot of people kind of want to appeal to the CEO or the owner of the company, but there's so many people in an organization that make a powerful impact. And I didn't want it to just be like the top-down look at things. I wanted it to be people on the rise, people at different levels or starting over. And so I said, I'm going to do a magazine. And I will say that one of the things that I wish I had done in the beginning was I kept trying to make it like every other magazine I had seen. I felt like that was the only way I was going to be successful. And then once I realized that that's not the key to what I want to put out, it's been a lot easier and it's been a lot smoother and everything has worked more organically the way it needs to be.
Okay, so you said something that really resonated with me when you talked about creating a magazine and realizing that you had to run it the way tailored to you. So how did you realize that copying someone else's business model exactly didn't fit you, and how did you tweak that business model to get to the one that you're at today?
I think, well, in the very beginning, I had someone who I had brought on to be a creative director, and I believe that they had magazine experience, and they brought in that influence from their past magazine. And once I wanted to step outside of that, there was a little bit of conflict because the security was in what they had known to do before. Unfortunately, we're not working together anymore on that. That person is no longer my creative director. I actually do the entire magazine. I edit it. I do the ad sales. I design it. I had to learn how to do all of the aspects of it. And I think once I put my hand on it fully and not timidly, because I was very timid at the beginning because, you know, when you've never seen something done and you have someone who says, well, this is how we did it before and it worked, you're more willing to believe that view of it rather than trust your own intuition. And once I trusted my own intuition of what it should be for me, it worked out better. And I'm not a micromanager, I don't believe.
Right.
But I feel like sometimes when it's not your expertise, you may get a little bit lazy and don't take the time to learn about it as much. And I did that in the beginning. And now that I'm more hands-on, I'm choosing writers who fit the vision. I'm choosing, like, themes that fit the vision. It's working a lot better. You know, and I had to learn that I make mistakes. I had to accept the mistakes, too. Like, we usually do a July, right, August issue. And as I was putting it together in June, I said, this doesn't feel right. This is not the time for this because where we're at in this country. So we pivoted a little bit, and it's coming out in August, and the pieces, it gave my writers time to really kind of reflect on what they wanted their story to be for this issue. It gave me time to, you know, to deal with everything going on and get myself together, and it's going to be a better issue because of that, because I'm willing to say, hey, you know what, guys, I don't have this ready. It's not ready yet, and I'll do it the next month, and it's going to be better because I'm taking that time and I'm being intentional.
Right.
With what I want to put out.
I think that's a vital piece of success, a vital success principle for entrepreneurs and business leaders is to give themselves space to slow down and get clarity or even to pivot and adjust the business model. And I think, you know, it's real easy to, you know, look at how other people are doing business and want to replicate that because they seem, you know, really successful. So how do you, I mean, you have a jazz lounge, you're a publisher of a magazine, and also you guys should check it out. If you go to the SEO Queens Facebook page, I shared the link to the May-June issue.
Yes, and thank you for your piece in that. That was beautiful.
Yes, I contributed to the magazine.
I know, I'm like, I need to put all of these into place today. I learned a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, that was just a great experience. I I actually, you know, been getting asked by a lot of businesses and magazines and book authors to contribute. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome. Yeah, but how have you gained more confidence over the years?
I went through not a bad divorce, but it was a divorce nonetheless. Like, divorces are never good or bad. I went through a divorce in 2013, 2014, and I had to really figure out who the hell Crystal was. I hope this is okay to say that word.
Yeah, you're fine.
I got married at 21, had my daughter at 22. I immediately took on the role as the mom and the wife, and I always knew I had different dreams in addition to those things. I've always been career focused, but I stayed home for 8 years and I ran a home daycare because that's what I needed to do for my family at the time so I could bring in income and I could be with my daughters. And when I got into real estate towards the end of our marriage, you know, I knew that I wanted something different. I wanted to emulate to my daughters that you can be a great mom. You can still follow your dreams. You're not letting anybody down if you choose to live your life full out. And when I went through that divorce, it was very difficult for me because I didn't have people in my family that were divorced. I didn't have friends that had been divorced. And it was kind of a solo journey in that regard. But I learned that, you know, whether I win or lose, it's on me. And there's power in that. And then there's a lot of fear that comes with that because the choices you make, you have to live with the consequences. And so I learned how to evaluate things a lot differently through that divorce. And over the last couple of years, I learned how to evaluate risk. I learned how to evaluate friendships. I've learned how to evaluate business models because at the end of the day, the choices I make affect my children. So I have to be really analytical and learn what I'm doing. And it's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes and be okay with that. So I would say that the divorce, and then I had a daughter who got diagnosed with MS within a year of the divorce. We had to learn to co-parent completely differently. I've had to grow up quite a bit in the last 5 years. I always say I was an adult, but I hadn't grown up yet. And now I've had to grow up and learn things a little differently and look at things differently.
Wow, I can definitely relate to that too because I got married really young, about a year after I graduated from college, and got divorced, you know, 5 years after I was married. So I can definitely understand what she went through.
Similar circumstances. It's difficult because I think with a lot of women, and I mean, I hope I'm not overgeneralizing, but the women I've dealt with and spoken to, a lot of times they get married and they take on this wife and mom role and they forget who they are in the process. And then their thought process is, well, my kids get older, I'll become who I am. And I was of that school. I was like, well, when they get 18, then, you know, we can see what I want to do with my life. And then I realized, well, what am I showing them? What am I demonstrating to them about dreams? What am I showing them about potential of having, you know, a combination? So now I'm in a super healthy, successful relationship with someone who is my best friend, my business partner. Like anything I need backup on, he's got my back. And it's a different feeling. So they can see a healthy relationship of people who are both business minded and love and support each other in whatever endeavors. And I think that was a better lesson for them to learn at that time. You know, when you marry someone when you're both 21, you have a lot of growing to do. And people grow at different speeds.
Absolutely.
And their dad and I get along really well. We talk on the phone. We co-parent very well together. I mean, I always joke, I parent at my house and his house because I make the rules for the kids. But we get along really well. And so I think that we both realized that we were young and we didn't really know, and we have this family and our responsibility is to our daughters, and that's where we put our energy.
Wow, that's beautiful. So what are your next moves now? What do you plan on doing next?
Sleeping? No, I'm joking. I'm going to put in fruition. I have been working on a webinar and a couple of books about real estate, and I want to get those completed, even if they're ebooks. I just need to do something. So if I put this out in the universe, hopefully I can get this on get this mapped out. The podcast, we have the Slut Mag podcast now that I'm relaunching, and I've had some good interviews that I'm excited to put out. And I'm just really trying to find ways to amplify women's voices and be able to tell their stories. You know, I'm a spiritual person. I believe I'm here. My purpose is to help inspire, empower, and motivate other women. That's kind of where I think that my journey
is. Love it. Love, love, love it.
Yeah, and that's who I've always been. My moniker on social media before I even knew what it meant was strive to be the best me, because every day I wake up thinking, how can I be the best Crystal? And I'm just going to live life and find joy and hope and put action behind it and find ways to help other people. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That's beautiful. I love it. And I think a lot of women need a lot of encouragement and support for a plethora of reasons, and I think that's awesome that you have a heart for that, because the work is definitely needed.
We beat up on ourselves a lot.
We do. We beat up on ourselves and too much.
I think that we're way harder on ourselves, so if I can find a way through someone's story or amplifying their voice or being a support, like, this is my second time I've been interviewed on a podcast. So I really thank you for having me on your show, because I've been too scared to tell my story. I had to hide behind everyone else telling their story, but then I've learned over the last year and a half that it's important for people to see my work as well. So,
yeah, it is powerful, because, you know, when you talk about, you know, how your marriage was and how, you know, you were completely consumed with the family, and family is important, but it's also, you know, your own self-care, your own, you know,
self-worth
and goals, and just what you want to do. Is it's like you shouldn't have to sacrifice your interests and your gifts for your family. Mm-hmm. Your family should be your cheering section.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get it twisted, and their family isn't their cheering section. And when my marriage ceased to be a cheering section, I exited stage left. And so I'm writing a book about it. It's called Black Brilliant and Maybe Bipolar. And so I definitely can relate to what you have experienced.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that it's important for successful women like yourself to tell people these stories, because so many people see you at, you know, at the level you're at, but they don't see all the work and all of the, for me, all of the tears and all of everything that went to getting here. I mean, I come from a family, there's not my aunts and uncles that are married, like, they didn't know why we get divorced, because to them, on paper, everything looked great. I had a big house, my husband made a good living, like, why would you ever get divorced? Because they didn't understand that I felt like God's calling for me was something different than what was going to be able to grow in that relationship. And so when you have to go against family, it's something
Crystal, let me tell you, it's like I'm listening to, looking in the mirror, listening to the recording, like listening to you. It's like, yeah, my ex looked good on paper, but
yep. It
just wasn't clicking.
Exactly. I'm like, well, you don't realize that's invisible ink you're looking at. Like, it can look good on paper today, but tomorrow it's gone.
You know, that's awesome. I just love what you're doing. I just love how you were able to pivot and keep things moving. And so I have one other question. I was telling one of my business partners about the fact that you're a real estate agent. So I wanted to ask you, per their request, do you have access to any bank-owned property lists?
Yes, I do. And I'm going to be technical a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I'm a realtor, which means that I abide by the code of ethics. I'm a member of the National Association of Realtors.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little bit different than a real estate agent. And I'm actually a broker owner. I own my own real estate company. I have a boutique brokerage. So I wanted to put that out there to promote my other businesses too. But yes, I do have access, and if they have questions, please email me. When I first got into business in 07, that was like the heat of short sales and foreclosure. So I did all the education and training I needed to do to learn how that market worked. So I'd be happy to give some advice or lead them to the person in their community that could help them the best. But I have a soft spot for short sales, meaning that you're upside down on the home. Because I've sat at dining room tables with families who have had medical bills that are forcing them out of their home, and help them work with the banks or, you know, try to get them out of there with some dignity. Because it's a humbling right. experience when you're yeah. in something like that. So I would love to help them and educate them, and it's a great opportunity to start getting into the real estate investment aspect of home ownership.
Right, right, right. So how can people connect with you? And thank you so much for the great information and just being so warm and generous with the information. So how can people connect with you?
So recently, my Facebook and Instagram were hacked and deleted. So I've had to start over again. But Facebook for the Spot Mag is our Facebook page. I'm on Instagram at the.spot.mag. I don't have a personal Instagram because my phone number is now blocked from having access to those, because whoever hacked my account and sent thousands of dollars in my credit card must have done some terrible things. So... that's the best way to reach me. I also, you can email me at crystalsavesthedeal@gmail.com. So that's Crystal, then save, like I save something, savesthedeal@gmail.com. I wish I had a catchy thing like you did in your intro, because that was amazing. I took notes. I'm going to change my intro for the show. And then we have the Spot Mag podcast, which is on Google Play, Apple iTunes, and, you can listen to it online on Spotify as well.
Beautiful. I'm looking at your Instagram now. I love the Juneteenth Afro lady. That's so cute.
Wasn't that beautiful?
I love
so
that.
Powerful.
Adding that to my story.
I had 6 accounts that I was managing. I need to hire a social media director. So if anybody's looking for any work, please contact me as well.
Well, the SEO Queen does social media management.
Well, why do you think
company.
I said it?
Yeah,
what do you think I said
does.
It? that was me dropping hints.
Oh, okay.
I'm dropping hints here. But I only have access to 2 of my pages now out of my 6 because of the lockout of Facebook, which also owns Instagram, which really messes you up if you get blocked and banned. But thank you for sharing that, and thank you for checking it out. And like I said, once again, I'm just so grateful that you wanted to hear my story and allow me to be on your platform. Really appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you on. It's been a privilege and a pleasure and a delight. Thank you so much for coming on the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z, where we explore tech and enjoy the music while exploring the secrets to success in business, music, and technology. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Crystal.
Thank you.
This is David Spradley, and you're listening to the Jazz and Tech Lounge with Lady Z.
Your mommy, your daddy, and all your friends, and tell them New York's number one podcast app is blowing up the airwaves and they can't do nothing about it. Bashani Radio app. We global, baby.
Yeah, baby!
Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store.